Amen. Let's just go to the prayer before we read our scripture. Heavenly Father, we truly are thankful for your word to us this morning, Father, for our morning service. And Father, I pray, Lord, what you've given us tonight, Father, may be expressed in the inspiration and that you've given it to me, Father, this evening. I pray, Lord, that you would just be with us, Father, and open our ears for understanding, Father. Shut my mouth to anything that I shouldn't say, Father, and open my mouth to those things that you would wish to say tonight, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You can be seated. Kind of a long way about getting around to here, but as I've promised, this is kind of one of the messages that God has put on my heart. It took me a while to put it together, and it's our promised land. And I heard Brother Branham say this on a tape, and it really struck me. It took me a while to look everything up and to research what it was about, and kind of a little bit along the same lines as what Brother Brian's been talking about here for the last few services. We are in the rapture right now. We are being raptured, and we're also in the promised land. Now, I don't want anyone to get confused, because there may still be a doctrine out there and people that believe that we are in the millennium. That's not what I'm talking about. So just X that out of your mind. We're going to be simply talking about the promised land, and Brother Branham will lay it out just exactly. And from Acts 2:37 and 39, "Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to that all that are afar off." And here is where some of the free will goes out the door that Brian's been talking about. "Even as many as our Lord God shall call." We have nothing to do with God choosing us. Amen. But he chose us, and if you're one of his, you will recognize your calling. Brother Branham says, what was the salvation he was trying to tell them? Predestinated before the foundation of the earth. Is that right? To adoption of sons. Predestinated to eternal life. Now, after you come into eternal life, after you've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, your sons. Not will be, you are sons. Now, God wanting to place you positionally, so that you can work for his kingdom and for his glory. That's the gospel. Being first, hear the word. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, taking away all your sins, calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the promised land. The promise is unto every sojourner that's on your road. If you left your home tonight a sinner saying, I'll walk over to the Branham Tabernacle, God gives you the opportunity tonight. There's one thing lays between you and the promised land. What is the promised land? The Holy Ghost. Amen. What laid between Joshua and the promised land was the Jordan. Exactly right. Now this is my, I inserted this, John 14:12-13. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. The Holy Ghost. Moses, being a type of Christ, led the children up to the promised land. Then Moses did not take the children into the promised land. Joshua took the people in and divided up the land. Jesus paid the price, led them up to the Holy Spirit. God sent the Holy Spirit down, and he positionally put the church in order, each man filling him with the presence of his being. You see what I mean? All in Christ Jesus. how God predestinated this to the calling of this gospel. Paul in Galatians 1:8 said, if an angel come preaching anything else, let him be accursed. The truth, the gospel. Now listen close as we read on, finishing the verse. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, listen closely, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Ghost of promise. In the last days, the Bible said, now watch, in the last days, there's going to be two classes of people. One of them's going to have the seal of God. They'll be in the promised land. The other one, the mark of the beast. So everyone that comes up to that line and chooses not to step into the promised land and receive the Holy Ghost is then marked with the mark of the beast. Is that right? Now, how many knows that? Well, if the seal of God is the seal of God, if the seal of God is the Holy Ghost, then without the Holy Ghost is the mark of the beast. And the Bible said that these two spirits would be so close together that it would deceive the very elect if it was possible. It'll never do it because they were elected to eternal life. See? Church going, just as knowing there's 10 virgins went to meet the Lord, all sanctified, all holy, every one of them sanctified. 5 were dilatory and let their lights go out. 5 had oil in their lamps, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. And the 5 that had oil in their lamps went into the wedding supper, and the others was left outside, where there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Be ready, for you don't know what time the Lord comes. What is the oil represent in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. The foolish had a sanctified lamp. Their bodies, they accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior. They were cleaned. They had the Holy Ghost at one time. So I know that got maybe just a little bit confusing, and the Lord told me to read this scripture, so I'm going to read it to you very slowly. I think it's Matthew 25. I had to just screenshot this. At the time of the kingdom will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. Now, their lamp had oil. It was lit. They sojourned on and didn't carry any extra oil with them. So listen to what the scripture says. The wise ones, however, took oil in their jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming between the appearing and his coming. There was a long spell of time. We all know that. We're here. It's been 50 years since Brother Branham passed off the scene. And they all become drowsy and fell asleep. And at the midnight cry rang out, the bridegroom came out to meet. Okay? So I just wanted to bring that point to you. And then I'm going to give you a bonus quote. And this is from Brother Peter. Thank you, Brother Peter. It just went out on this Wednesday. I hope you guys read it. And it's from 62:2-11. I couldn't find it this morning. I get so many things all. So it's from Oneness. What is it? You've got to get with the Word. Get yourself killed out. I'm persuaded that many of us, friends, have received the Holy Ghost, just like these foolish virgins. But just received enough Holy Ghost in us to make us to a place where we don't want to lie. We're clean. We don't want to steal. We don't want to do anything. But God wants to fill every fiber of His church. He wants to fill your thinking. He wants to fill your mind. He wants to fill every bit of you, just make you completely, totally dead to yourself. Not the body, but the old spirit, the old man. Just so surrender to God till his word's just living right through you. That is where the church has to be, or we're not going to go on to that, the full promised land. To the millennium, that wedding supper. Just so surrendered to God's words, just living right through you. You don't know nothing else but God's word. Just stay right with his word. It is life. My words are life, Jesus said. He placed them, teachers believing the Bible, and prophets that say the truth, that say, show me some prophecy that you've always did down through the age. What he done? He's showing himself alive among them, confirming his word. His word, the kingdom of God, is God's word made power. That power is my next sermon. I'm going to continue on with that. Brother Branham goes on to say, now to you today, you Seventh-day Adventist brethren who said the seventh day is God's seal, produce one scripture to prove it. The Bible said that the seal of God is the Holy Ghost. Watch this. Watch the 13th verse now. After that you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Turn to Ephesians 4:30, I believe that is. See if you don't, 4:30. Brother Branham goes on. Yeah, here it is, 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And that's from adoption in 1960. Brother Branham goes on to say, excuse me. Can you see what I mean? That tonight, people who don't believe in divine healing, people who do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, how can they receive anything? God is rich in mercy to those who will follow after him and not after a creed, not after a law, a churchism, a doctrine that rises up, but after God. God is the Word, and it was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, that he might bring forth the other attributes of God, the body. That's us. Jesus was the body of God, an attribute. Moses seen him pass by, the back part of him. No man had seen his face. But now we see him. We have gone behind the veil. In Moses' time, if you weren't a priest where you could actually go behind the veil, you died. Brother Branham said in our day, and just apply this to this quote that he's reading, if you don't go behind the veil and see his face and receive the Holy Ghost, you will die. You will be here when the tribulations come. But now we see him. We have beheld him. See him as the sacrifice. Now see, he was an attribute of God being displayed, the Word. That's what he was. And when any believer comes to God, he becomes God's attribute of his Word. He is used to manifest the Word that's promised for that day. Amen. See, that's right. God, rich in mercy, has never left us without a testimony. He is rich in mercy. And that's God, rich in mercy, from 65. Brother Branham continues. What happened? The church just got started out of Egypt on its feet a few days. What happened? Satan come along with his discrepancies in person, the second Cain, which was Balaam. And he sowed discrepancy among them. We know that's right. That Balaam, the teaching of Balaam, that we're all the same. Have you kind of noticed that a little bit trend in our day? We serve the same God, fundamentally. You have to go to this church. You have to follow this. Start putting periods here, periods there, periods here. You have to do this. Rules. They want to go back to law. It's human nature. But if you're dead to yourself and your old man spirit and you've actually got the Holy Ghost, he leads you into all truth. Fundamentally, he was right because he offered a sacrifice that God offered. And I think Brother Branham meant Moses offered. Because he offered a sacrifice that Moses offered. He did it exactly the same. Seven rams, seven bullocks on seven altars and prayed to the same God, just as perfect as Moses did down in the wilderness. Just exactly the same. But they were not the same. Foreshadowing to us what would come to pass. That's us. There was again Cain manifested in the person of Balaam, and there was God manifest in the person of Moses, interpreting his words through a human being, making himself known, his promises through a human being, and the discrepancy raised up. So did it do it in the time of Judas. There he come with his discrepancy. And remember, this sin, this disbelief that those people believed that we're all the same. We worship the same God. We should all belong to the same church. We should all listen to this minister. We should all press play at the same time. We should be the same people. That sin was never forgiven.
Amen.
Jesus said himself, they are all dead. They perished, all but three of them. That was the ones who held on and believed the promise that when the weakling said, they come up to the line, we cannot take the land, it is too much for us, and so forth. And Joshua and Caleb stilled the people and said, we are more than able to take it. Because God promised it to us. I don't care what the opposition is. And we still can preach divine healing and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and still have power of God to separate us from the things of the world. God said so. The apostolic age has never ceased. And it will not cease. It goes on. Can we read it again? The apostolic age has never ceased. It will not cease. It goes on.
Amen.
So when you hear rumors and things of it's all this one man, and you fail with that little bit of Holy Ghost that come in that day, and don't move on and allow the Holy Ghost to be in every single fiber of your body, you will not pass over to that promised land. So we find the same old sower of discrepancy. And remember, that sin was never forgiven. Now, brother, if it was never forgiven then, what about now? When the real seed of all the ages is coming together. Notice this great thing that Balaam did. It went on and finally ended up in the coming of Judas Iscariot and Jesus. What was it? Judas and Jesus was just exactly a figure of Cain and Abel. For as Judas was religious, so was Cain religious. Cain built an altar. He made a sacrifice. He worshipped God. He was just sincere and as the other one was. But you see, he didn't have the revelation of what the word was.
Amen.
What was Cain and Abel's story a picture of? Cain wanted to do works. Something that you can do to earn salvation. Tilled the ground and brought the fruit. God doesn't accept it. The biggest thing you can see in our day probably is the Amish. They are the most works group you've ever seen. They don't have a car. They don't connect to electricity. They just work. It has nothing to do with that. But on the other hand, Abel, with the revelation, understood that it was the blood, the word. He thought it was Adam and Eve had eaten apple or some fruit. And Cain, Abel by revelation, noted it was wrong. It was the blood that brought them out, and he offered a lamb. And God testified his offering was right. Then he got jealous and tried to kill his brother. And as he killed his brother upon the same altar that his sacrifice died on, the lamb died upon the altar, so did Judas Iscariot betray Jesus Christ upon the altar of God and killed him just as Cain killed Abel, because Cain was the seed of discrepancy. And so was Balaam, the hireling prophet, a man who ought to have known better. And God warned him through signs and wonders, and even a mule speaking unknown tongues. And he still went right on the same. He was born to be a sower of discrepancy. And if Jesus predicted this age to end up the greatest discrepancy that ever was, the Laodicea church age, lukewarm, that put him out of the church, how can it be anything else but that in our day? Amen. Discrepancy. Certainly it is. It is that age. And it was Cain and Abel again on Calvary. Instead of Christ, put out Antichrist. Those foolish virgin had oil in their lamps. They got just enough of it to make them sick. And then turn around and left without taking more oil with them. Christ, the Holy Ghost, pounding on the door to get back in. Now, Hebrews, the sixth chapter, if I could put the quote in it. For it is impossible for them which were once enlightened and have tasted of the Holy Ghost, the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away and deny and walk away. It is impossible for that sin to be forgiven. Like those fellows came up there and eat the grapes from over the other land, stood there when it come to following the word, on through, they said, we can't do it. And they died in the wilderness. Amen. Again, John 14:12. The works that I do shall you do also. That's for every believer. And you get the unbeliever says, we can't do that. That was for one man. It wasn't for the body of Christ. If you let that seed or discrepancy enter your mind, you will die. And you will not cross. That's where we got. We tasted a good word of God, but the full promise. No, no, we can't do that. See, Dr. So-and-so or somebody else says we can't do it. That's for the apostles. I thought the apostles were over. It's just a prophet. I thought the teachers were over. It's just a prophet. I thought the pastors were over. It's just a prophet. That was the other day. There you die. See, the scripture all ties together. Every word of it ties together. And it cannot be given by a man-made theory, system, or anything. It's only revealed by the Holy Ghost. Jesus said, Father, I thank you that you've hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed it to babes such as would learn. Joshua and Caleb's faith was simple as a babe. They heard the promise through Moses, the same as we have heard the promise through Brother Branham. That's good enough for me. I believe it. You have to believe it to get over. Now, that's exactly what's coming today through justification and sanctification. See, has trod the blood of Jesus Christ wherewith he was sanctified. It is the sanctified people that came up to the place where they seen the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they turned away and said, it's fanaticism. We can't take it. It'll be turned out of our class. We'll be turned out of our places. We'll be turned out of our church. We cannot do that. See, because it's contrary to our church teaching. See, he counted the blood of Jesus Christ that wrought him all this distance, right to the ceiling of the promise, and then walked away from it. He said it is totally impossible for them to ever be saved and to see not the one that was walked over into the promised land. Amen. Can you imagine walking up to the line and seeing all the great things that Brother Branham did in our day via his appearing, God here with us coming down, and then stopping and saying that you can't do that too? That's been God's whole plan since the fall in the garden. Yep. He wants to be in fellowship with you and me, not the prophet and just believe. The devils believe. Now, if that isn't exactly up to your place this morning, where you come today, the church has come through justification, through Luther, through sanctification, through the Methodists, and now up to the time of promise. The promise is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is promised all through the Old Testament and New, too. See? The promise. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Peter said in that day of Pentecost, this promise, the promised land, is to live in this land of the Holy Spirit. Now, we are bound here on earth by five senses: body, see, taste, feel, hear, and smell. It is impossible for you to see, touch this with this body. It has nothing to do with your being. It has everything to do with your spirit, your soul. And the only way that you can be now sons of God, the promised land, and to be able to be living in it and also be being raptured at this very moment is to have the Holy Ghost. It's another world. It's another land. You have come out of the conditions that you have been in to come out to live in this promised land. To receive the promise. Remember the promise. You shall receive power from on high. After this, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. What is the power? We'll get into that, but I want to hit on it again. I read the definition of it. The power to be able to demonstrate to a dying world that Christ is still alive. When you walk up and testify to somebody, they shouldn't have to know about anything. They shouldn't have to know that there's a prophet. They should be able to look at you and I and be able to know that God is alive now. Not a single word come out of your mouth just by the things that you do, the things that you say. Nothing wrong about the organization. The organization's all right. The law was all right in Moses' day. It served its purpose. That's true, but the law don't do nothing for them. It didn't give them any grace. The law didn't take them over to the promised land. No, sir, the law ceased. Joshua took them over, and Moses, the lawgiver, died. And so is the church organization going to die out. And grace and the power of God and the Holy Ghost back to the church to rapture the church to the promised land. Yes. Yes, it serves its purpose. But it wasn't a thing that God was wanting. Just as Brother Brian just went over the Ten Commandments. They're not law. They are law. But they were given to us as a guide. The law died. Ceased to be. Moses, the lawgiver, died. Joshua, the one that believed the promise, he went on and on and on and on. A believer's like a shark. The moment you stop and don't move on or don't move forward, that shark dies. You ever seen a shark get caught down on the ocean? If you just push it out there, it can't start swimming again. You have to, like, push it out. There's a whole school on if you're to be able to release a shark that if you catch it. You have to flip its tail and get it to move again and let it and actually coast it out into the water. Because if it goes down and sits on the bottom, it doesn't have swimmers like a fish. They can't get going again. They die. They'll die. And as long as the 12 spies that were sent out to go over and spy out the land of Canaan, as long as they went forward towards Canaan, forward, they were gaining ground. But when they come to the borderline, the others, the other 12, the other 10, they rejected it. I said, you Baptists are all right as far as you come, but you have to receive the Holy Ghost since you believed. I said, remember, God recognized Abraham's faith. He believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. That's true. But when God gave him the seal of circumcision as a sign to him, not that his flesh was circumcised, he had anything to do with his soul, but it was a sign that he had, God had, and it recognized his faith. And he gives us the sign of the Holy Ghost, that he has recognized us as a believer. So people that sit on the fence, I'm not saying you have to be doing miracles and raising the dead. But if your life, when the light shines on it, does not produce the life of Christ, you don't have the Holy Ghost. Because the light, when it hits the seed, cannot do anything but produce the life that's in it. Repent and be baptized, every one, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you. Get the point now? The Jews, no matter how much they could prove that they were circumcised, but the token had to be showed. If not there, the covenant wasn't effective. It wasn't. Same now. Same thing. No matter what you do. That means, like I've been saying that, you can't do it. You can't live this message. You can't do these things as a work. You might be a Bible student. Oh my, you might say, I am a believer and everything. But still, the token is required. A Bible student, you say, I was a good person, Brother Branham. I don't care what anybody says. You can't beat that man. You can't find a spot on his life. You can't condemn the natural, the human vessel. I never seen him do anything wrong in my life. That don't have that to do with it. Brother Branham snaps his finger. There is one requirement and that alone. And you cannot do that. You cannot put the blood of the lintel of the door where the token could not be unless the lamb died. So, what is he saying there? When you're saved and you receive the Holy Ghost, you can't go out there and paint your own door. God does that for you. Because when his word, his light shines on your life, it's there for the world to see. As he was talking about Moses being circumcised, it wasn't for Moses. It ain't for us. It's for the world to see. And the blood was a positive sign that the lamb died. No make-believe, the lamb died. And the Holy Ghost is a positive token that your lamb died. And receive the token upon yourself, and his very life is in you. There is no make-believe. There is no put-on. There is no impersonation. It's there. You know it. The world knows it. the token is there. Now, you Pentecostal people believe when the gifts began to restore to the church of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and of speaking in tongues, and you stayed right with that. You believe that. Now, that's all right. But why do you stop there? Why did you stop there? When Israel was on the journey to the Promised Land, and when they stopped in the wilderness, they stayed there for 40 years and just a day's journey out of the Promised Land, the whole complete Promised Land. What was God asking of the children of Israel? Because they didn't move unless they seen the pillar of fire move. They didn't move it during the day unless they seen the cloud. So what was God expecting of them? He was expecting them to believe, to trust. He gave them a promise. It's yours. You got to go get it. You have to go get it. God didn't go get it for Joshua and Caleb, the two of the 2 million. They had to believe. They had to go and get it. Just a day's journey out of the promise, the whole complete Promised Land. And the Pentecostal people, when they crossed over, dancing and shouting like Miriam and them, when they hit the wilderness, they done the same thing that Moses did, or not, what he meant was Israel did. They wanted a law. Grace had already provided everything. They immediately, as soon as times got rough, ooh, I want the garlic back in Egypt. Soon as time slowed down, oh, squirrel, you know, whoo, what do we do? God had already provided all that. But they wanted a law. They want something that they can do. Has nothing to do with what you do, but it has everything to do with what he did. And all you got to do is take it. A gift is not a gift unless it's received. A pardon's not a pardon unless you receive it. They wanted something so they could have doctors and PhDs and LLDs, and they got it. And they journeyed there until every one of them died. Yep. Cain and Abel, Cain wanted law. He wanted works. He wanted to offer God something that he did. Abel wanted grace. He wanted the blood. He wanted the revelation. And God took two men and sent them over, Caleb and Joshua. Why? They was only about 40 miles of journey was all they had to walk. Why? They was just a day or two away from it. But they waited back there 40 years till they got all the stuff out of them, till all them people died out. Well, it's just about time for a change now. We started organizing, doing the very same thing that we come out of, and brought it right back and make this a tying post and this an absolute. And if they don't believe it just exactly the way, God bless God, they're not even in it at all. Have you ever heard anybody say that? So what have you done? Sit still and made members. And what does the members know? What the pastor said. Turn into the word of God. And they see something happen. That's exactly the word of God. And they like, whoo, what do I do? Better go ask the pastor. They ask some bishop or presbyter, what is this or what is that? And if you're at that stage at this time in our life at the end, and you have to call your pastor or you have to call your prophet in Jeffersonville and ask him what to do, you're going to miss it. Yep. Babies not able to eat strong meat, still sucking on a bottle. And it displeased God. And Samuel wept before the Lord. And they haven't rejected you, God's telling Samuel. They have rejected me. You're just an instrument I'm working through. Let them have it. And that's exactly what they got. And we find that sorrow that filled it. God is their king. God is our king. The Holy Spirit is our leader. God give us the Holy Ghost. Let's stay by it. The Bible of direction to see whether it is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost can't promise something over here and then deny it over there. It has got to keep exactly what it said to remain God. Right. He has got to stay the Holy Spirit. Got to be the same. Yes. They wanted to disbelieve Samuel when Samuel had the word of the Lord and told them. Israel shouted. Sure, they had a great time, but what they found out, they wandered for 40 years. Now, in our wandering, did you ever think what they did out there in the wilderness? Did you ever think of what Israel done? God blessed them, sure. They did. They had gardens. My family has thousands of acres. We raise tens of thousands of cows. We're all millionaires. Their crops, they married their wives and they raised their children. God blessed them. And He has blessed the Pentecostal move. Sure. But remember, that wasn't what God sent them out to live in that wilderness. They was just to pass through the wilderness. They were on their road to the promised land. The church was to go on to the full promise. The church tonight should be in her splendor of glory. You've heard Brother Brian the last few sermons. The Holy Spirit comes in the size of a button. That's great. The size of the mustard seed faith. But it isn't to stop there. God wants every fiber. Brother Branham gave us an example before he left. He told Brother Vail, every single thought of mine is of God. He had gotten to the point in his life where everything he did, everything that he said was of God. Fullness of the Holy Spirit. Not that we're the Son of God, but the church is to have the same power. I'll read it to you. She should be waiting for the coming of the Lord. Instead of that, she is scattered everywhere, wondering which is right. Is this right? Is that right? I'll join this over here. I'll go over here. I'll go down there. Oh, return. Get away from those things. Now, what has it done for us? It done that for them. It made them remain in the wilderness. It brought us right back into the same vomit we come out of. We organized ourselves and put us right back in the same mess we come out of. Can't you understand that God never had an organization? Now, God wants His people to be organized, as in a move. You're all beating with the same heartbeat, His beat. But you don't ever stop. You don't ever organize. We got people in this message that believe if you didn't read a book printed from the voice of God, that you're not saved. We have people in this message that will love a quote that you send out, but it has to be sent from the voice of God. They're lost. Never did ordain one. Never spoke of one. But always against it. God wants to lead men. Men just can't lead themselves. They say we're in the multitude of counsel. Just like Joshua and Caleb brought back the evidence of an unseen land. You know why the children of Israel were also stumped there? They were still stuck on this body and self. They couldn't see that land because it was a revelation. All they had to do was get it. They had been given to the people by a promise. Joshua and Caleb brought back an evidence that was there was such a land. Now down there they had the promise of it. God gave them the promise. And they came right up to the land, but they never had seen it. And Joshua and Caleb went over into the promised land and brought back the evidence of that land was there, and it was good, flowing with milk and honey. Amen. What was it? They was going to possess that land. They had the promise. They was on their road over there, and they were almost to the Jordan, and Joshua crossed over and brought back the evidence that it was a good land. Just what Joshua did for the children of Israel. Joshua means Savior, the word Joshua. And that's the same thing Jesus done for the church when they killed him. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave, and he rose up again with the evidence that the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that there is a land beyond the river that they call the sweet forever. He came back and brought us an evidence. What does it do, Brother Branham? It makes you stop lying, stealing, drinking, cursing, immorals, everything. It makes a new creature out of you. I who were once dead in sin and trespasses, nevertheless I live, not me, but Christ lives in me. I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear to the promise. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. The land belongs to us. How do you know it? Joshua rose from the dead. He meant Jesus, but he's talking about the two comparisons. Brought back the evidence of the Holy Ghost. I got it. Amen. Woo. Glory. I'm an heir. Oh, a child of the King. A child of the King. Heir to all things. And the Bible said the same God that gave Israel a promise of that promised land, it was an unseen thing to them. The same Bible, the same God gave us a promise of eternal life, and the Holy Ghost bears record of it. Christ is alive, not dead. He lives right among us, lives in us, through us, and works around us. Amen. The royal seed of Abraham. The royal seed. Why, England's most selected army is the royalty of England, the royal blood, everything. And the royal seed of Christ is the Holy Ghost filled church. Amen. Filled with the Holy Ghost. What royal seed? By the promise, not by sensations, but by the promise of God. They stand by the word of God and chop their way through, screaming hallelujah. Even death comes and says, it's coming up your sleeve. Say, give way. I'm crossing over. Cut your way right on through to the promised land. Amen? Amen? Now, there is a lot of times where many of us Pentecostals has made a mistake and think, well, the Holy Ghost is poured out on me. Glory to God, that's all I have to do. No, sir. You're just getting started. It's not then, it's your test and your trial. Just like we find over in the Old Testament, testing, trying, and then placing a son, adoption, placing the son after he's already a son, been born into the family, he's a son, then he would be tested and tried and raised up by tutors and to see how he comes out. And then he's placed positionally, almost to his father. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy, Brother Branham, in 62. John 17:21-23. That they may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. That they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Amen. I hope that's your desire. He gave us an example, and Brother Branham's message confirmed every step that we needed to take to get to this place right here. Now, this is the last quote. There is 1 million, 2 million come out of Egypt. Joshua and Caleb, 2, entered the land. 1 out of 1 million. Father, I tremble, I think of that. Think across the world today, 500 million Christians. That would be 500 if you should come tonight. Oh God, let us remember that every word of God stands a memorial. We must believe it, and we must obey it. And when you said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off, even as many as the Lord God shall call. And God, you are still calling tonight. And the promise is as long as he calls. It's so simple that it stumbles. We must have something to do. That's where everyone stops. Don't stop. You will die. And clergymen has twisted the minds of the people and directed it to be an educational, a denominational school of theology, to a thing to say, oh, you just believe. And when you hear that in our ranks here in the message, Brother Branham, that was the angel talking to him about the gift of healing. All you have to do is get the people to believe you, and not even cancer will stand in your way. Whoopee. But what else did he say? Never stop. Move on into the promised land. That little bit of Holy Ghost that God gave you has to be in every fiber of your body, or we're not going to walk through those walls to leave here. The devil believes also, but he can't receive the Holy Spirit. Judas Iscariot was done all the rest of what the disciples did. He preached the gospel, but when it come time for him to get the Holy Ghost, he showed his colors. So when you see people walk up to the line, be in this message their entire life, or come in from the outside, get saved, sanctified, and they'll get a little bit of the Holy Ghost, and it lasts them for a while. But then when he comes, oh, I needed more? I needed my entire being to be full of the Holy Ghost, to be able to demonstrate to this world that he is alive? You've got to have more. And he showed his colors. God, may the people of the land tonight realize that without that experience, they are lost. May it be tonight that their souls be satisfied with thy portion, Lord, as we commend them into thy hand. They are yours, Lord. We're only responsible for the word. I pray that they will believe with all their heart and be filled with the Holy Ghost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word to us tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would continue to help us in our lives. Father, that we demonstrate you. Father, we get ourselves out of the way. We continually die, not this physical body, but the old man, Father, that the new man continues to grow, that every fiber of our being, Father, says that we are yours. We are your sons and daughters. There's no question, Father, when we walk up to someone or a group of people that they know who you are. Father, I pray, Lord, you get us ready. Lord, we know you're coming soon. We want to be one of those one in a million, Father. Bless us now as we change the order of the service and to honor thy commandments, Father, in taking communion and foot washing. I pray, Lord, that you take us through this week, Father. May the things that we read in your word and hear on the tapes from your prophet be inspiration and continuance of life, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. brothers. I didn't know that Brother Michael and Helena will be here, and then I forgot that Silas was here, so you need to add, I did 15, and we need 19. All right, for 1 Corinthians 11, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he had been betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do you in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took up the cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherever, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. If any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. In John 13, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour is come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he had poured water into a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter said unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, you are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, You know what I have done unto you. You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. For I have given to you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than him that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Amen. Let's read that again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Get your eyes off the vessels. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. One as we are one. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Brothers, if you would pray for the elements.